There's an old loaded question. It's more of a joke than anything else, I guess. But the question goes like this. Tis the guys that are married. Have you stopped beating your wife yet? Now, either way you answer that question, you're guilty. There's no way out of it. It's a false presupposition that drives that question. And Jesus was no stranger to set up questions. The Sadducees, of course, that do not believe in the resurrection, set up this phony story about a woman that was married to a man. He died, and his brother married her next, and so on. 7 times she was married, and they ask whose husband would be hers in the resurrection. And, of course, not knowing the power of God nor the scriptures, they were wrong. Their question was framed wrong. On another occasion, the scribes and Pharisees who had caught a woman in the act of adultery, and where's the guy here? They say to Jesus, "Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" Of course, their question was aimed at a desired outcome on their part, but they failed to recognize the mercy of God is just as strong as the justice of God. They're equal. The disciples of the Pharisees and some Herodians approach Jesus today in our gospel, and they ask the question, is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? The question is presented to Jesus by those two groups. They're radically different. It's an unusual, unlikely pairing to see the Herodians and Pharisees' disciples together, because the Pharisees, along with most Jews, bitterly opposed the Roman occupation of Rome, of their Holy Land. And on the other hand, the Herodians actually favored Herod and submitted and compromised to him in order to receive the peace and the exchange of political favor from him. And so they come, unlikely pairing here, the odd couple, if you will, they come to Jesus with this question. And they set it up with a litany of flattery, vain flattery. "You are a truthful man. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You don't really care about what people think. You will teach what is true. You do not regard a person's status. It doesn't matter to you if it's a poor person or a wealthy person or whatever the class of society they may belong to. So, is it lawful to pay the temple tax to Caesar or not?" Of course, if Jesus answers no, he's going to alienate, which is what the Pharisees want. He's going to alienate and invoke the revolt, the spirit of revolt and insurrection, and he's going to be arrested. If he says yes, he's going to alienate his whole people, the faithful ones of Israel, because they did not want to submit to that rule. Much like Judas the Galilean, who led a revolt against the Romans and perished, and his disciples were scattered years before. One thing that's underlying this entire equation, or this entire problem, if you will, of how to address this, is the idea of law. Thomas Aquinas, in his great work, the Summa Theologiae, addresses law. First of all, he speaks of the eternal law. It's the law that governs everything in the universe. The laws of physics and planets and the laws of life and biology and the laws of the human nature and our morality. And then he goes on to explain how we, each of us, have within us the natural law. And he refers to the natural law as the reflection of the eternal law which is imparted to us. Now, of course, through sin, we fail to execute cleanly with the natural law, reflecting his eternal law. That's the problem of sin. That's the problem of evil. However, that's why he gives us the divine law to correct our deviation from the natural law. And finally, he gives us the civil law, which is a reflection of the natural law and our laws of our society. There's a reason why we don't drive 90 miles an hour down Spring Arbor Road towards Lumen Christi High School, because we would endanger life. There's a goodness in protecting life, and law should support goodness and truth. The problem is, all of our laws are not just. All of our laws are not holy and good. Back in the 1960s, Martin Luther King Jr. sat in a Selma jail cell writing and contemplating the dilemma of the movement for the ending of unjust discriminatory laws against African Americans throughout this country. His movement was gaining great strength, and he was getting great opposition. Unjust law. Roe v. Wade opened the door to laws that now allow innocent human life to be taken. Unjust laws, which should be rejected. Now today, in our first reading, we find an interesting thing that shows how God is in control of everything. Cyrus, Persian king, as they conquer the Babylonians, who had held Israel captive for 70 years, releases the Jews to go back to their land with their sacred vessels and with money to fund the rebuilding of their temple and building their culture again. He wasn't even a follower of God, but God's stamp was on this man. Bishop Barron has a wonderful saying. It's a play off of today's coin imagery. And he says this: everything in the universe is stamped with the image of God. Everything belongs to God. The fullness of the Lord, the earth and its fullness are the Lord's, the psalmist tells us. We all belong to God through his eternal law. Caesar belongs to God. Our government belongs to God, whether they recognize it or not. There are those today that would draw a sharp distinction, a demarcation between the secular and the sacred. It's a wall, not unlike the Berlin Wall, that separated free Europe from communist-controlled Europe. And we tend to see things in that way. They say, we will tolerate you Catholics as long as you remain privatized in your little religious corner, away from the public square. And from this, we get all these bans on mangers, bans on public prayer, bans on reading the Bible, and laws against so-called hate crimes of teaching the truth about marriage between one man and one woman. It isn't either. It isn't one or the other. We have a responsibility to enter and to influence the public square on all things, because all things belong to God. Bringing with us the truth in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are to be salt and light in this very world. And so, God reminds us today, through the Master's wisdom and cleverness in answering the question correctly, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, yes, and render to God which is God's. It's not an either or, it's a both and.